Hey, everybody. Thanks for jumping on board again. This is Phil Pringle, your host with the C3 Church Global Podcast. We're so thankful that you've decided to listen in. And we are really intent on making sure that the content of what we bring is fresh, relevant, and helpful to you. We're in the pain relief business. We want to ease people's pain. And we also want to help you fulfill your dreams and maximize your potential. That'd be the three things that I'm always attempting to bring individuals into. Happily today, we've got two people who are experts in that field.
Experts?
And yes. That is James and Tammy. Edwards, hi, James.
Hello, Pastor Phil.
It's great to have you here.
It's awesome to be here.
And Tammy, his beautiful wife. Great. Yes. Mother of three.
Mother of three, yes.
And four if you include me.
I was going
to
joke, but I thought, no.
It's great. Look, you've been with us for, what, maybe nearly 20 years?
Nearly 20 years, yeah.
Amazing. That's amazing.
What a good two 2001,
decades.
I could wave a magic wand and have 1,000 more people just like you, I would do it because you're such a delight to work with, and the A-team members, A-grade team members. And,
beautiful.
It is always a pleasure to, hang out and do business and pastor people, lead the flock with you guys. You've been involved in a lot of different things, James.
We have, yeah.
An array
of things. Yeah. I got saved in this church, came back to Christ at 18, and within 2 weeks I was signed up to Bible college.
Yeah,
and then
way to go.
Straight into youth ministry and serving in our youth in a whole bunch of different areas. And then we led our Sunday morning youth and our Friday night senior high, and then Pastor Mark Kelsey brought us on to do kids ministry, which was...
You were on staff then, right?
I was brought on staff then.
So we changed kids ministry to family ministry,
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Was that you? I think that was your initiative.
Yeah, we did that together.
Let's change the name.
Family Good ministry shift. And... We did that for a number of years. Then we did our young adult ministry.
That was fun.
And now we're leading the amazing...
How long did you do young adult for?
About 3 years. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. How was that?
Amazing. Love young adults.
Yeah.
It was a big shift from kids to young adults.
Yeah.
Very different dynamic of leadership. Obviously, the way you engage, the way you are, but passionate generation of
people.
And still that way, aren't they?
I think it's a great time in people's lives where people are navigating what faith means for them.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think particularly for people that have come through church since a young age, I think it is in those 18 to 25 age group, people really start to think about,
right,
what does this actually mean for me?
Right.
And it's always wonderful to see someone get rebaptized or reignited in their faith and journey through stuff. So yeah, it was wonderful. Wonderful time.
It always distressed me a little how negative everybody was about millennials.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
We got so many great young men and women in around the place. I don't know. I guess people just don't like the next generation. They always got a critical word about it.
Well, they've got a new perspective and a needed perspective, but it's the wrestle between what's kind of growing old and what's growing new. But there's a tension to be had.
Yeah.
But God has a way to enable the next generation to learn and glean, but also bring the new perspective. But we have to be very humble to allow that to take place. I mean, we felt old compared to them.
Totally.
No, but we were learning from them. I think that's a beautiful way to be in the family of God.
Yeah,
learning,
I think so. I think that wonderful multi-generational approach in church life
is
sacred.
It is.
The last thing God's speaking to the people in Malachi, you're not going to hear from me for 400 years before Jesus comes back. And he's like, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers.
Mm.
And I think that's profound for us to understand.
Oh, it is.
That we need one another.
Yeah.
And I think for the fathers, I think it actually takes a lot of mercy, grace and humility to actually listen to young people. I mean, you've always done that, Pastor Phil.
Absolutely.
And I think you've always enabled yourself to learn and to reinvent yourself and to think through how the next generation. But at the same time, I think at the other end of the spectrum, it's about us understanding with grace, empathy, and being willing to learn.
Yeah.
And I remember when we took on this role in Octave Falls, you spoke to me. I said, what should I do? Because a lot of the people that come to our church are much older than me or Tam and have done this for
it's
much
terrifying.
Longer. They've been saved. Many of them been saved longer than I've been alive. And so I'm like, well, what can I do? And I remember you talked to me out of Timothy. And it's entreat those that are, your elders and just work with people and learn from one another. And so I think it's that coming together, learning from one another, staying humble and doing the journey.
Totally. And you've done that well. I think that my vibe about that is, number one, I don't want to get to be a grumpy old man.
Mm. No chance.
Well, there are days.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't gonna say
that. Yeah, you know, where you, but neither, I don't really want to get to be an old man.
Right.
Any kind of old man. I love young people. I love being around young people. And I think that's so important for every pastor to have. Mm. Don't develop a critical attitude.
Mm. Yes.
Towards the very people that you want to come into your church.
Yeah.
And some of the older people in our congregations might have difficulty with the noise and the jumping and the dancing and the youthfulness.
Mm.
But I have found that most, like 90%, 95% of those, they love it.
Yeah.
They love the life of a youthful congregation. And if they are respected in the journey and they're given a space and notice, I feel that you can accommodate for that multi-generational.
Absolutely. And that respect, that honor, that preferring one another, serving one another, so important just for the culture and health of a church, definitely.
Yeah. And so I think giving honor to the gray hair is a really good idea. Not letting criticisms about all the old people. Mm. And that will happen if the old people are critical of the next gen. So to get rid of all of that.
Right.
Judgmental feeling about the next generation. They never go to work. Oh, they, you know, feel entitled and they want this and they want that. Mm. I think let's move that out of our thinking and love the aspirational, entrepreneurial, go get them, big thinking attitude of these young people. It blows my mind how big thinking they are and the risks they'll step out and take.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Just wonderful. Tammy, you work in an environment like that.
I do, yeah. I work for a big organisation. Love it. Very different to church life, but love the very forward-thinking nature of what that's enabled me to see and admire. But the church should be leading the way in that. The church should be the ones showing the way forward and how we are agile enough to be able to manoeuvre into the future. God is already in the future and he's saying, come into this space.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to be able to move and change and
exactly.
and grow and not be stuck.
Can I wind back to the children's ministry days?
Yeah.
To the family ministry days. And I remember at that, when you took it on, we were only just getting the check-in, digital check-in.
Yeah, brand new. I think it was our first year. We got that all signed off and in.
Yeah.
That was a big leap forward.
So parents, what, they signed up online or they did it when they came?
When they came. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they came on board. And just taking them through the process. And it was a bunch of different things. I think it was about the church getting better in a whole bunch of things from a practical nature. But I think the core of it was our safety. And I think, it was leading into what we've just come through, not us personally as a church, but the church across Australia has been through some pretty significant needs to look into how they deal with safety and looking after people. And that was just one of the things that we recognized as an area that we can get better in. And I think we were helped a lot by some wonderful ministries in Australia that are really leading the way in this space. And we're very grateful for the church and working together in keeping kids safe and working with families. And
Because I grew up in a safe world. It was seemingly safe. Right. You could leave empty bottles down the end of your drive with money in them.
Right.
For the milkman.
No, not you can't do that anymore.
And we would be wandering around the neighborhood, even as the sun's going down, and your parents would be crying, Philip, and that was all you had. And you'd like a block away, and you'd wander back home, and you could leave your bike wherever you wanted, and it wasn't going to get stolen. It was just a totally different time.
Mm.
And now we can't even let our kids walk to school, it seems, or and so safety is very high in the thinking of our parents and our young people, and so providing a safe environment for children is
absolutely
super important. I mean, you with three kids,
three girls, love them, but I think even parenting in this day and age, you can't just be controlled by fear, although you want to be safe, you want to be structured, you want to have great things in place, you want to have great conversations, but also not be consumed with fear over the kind of world my girls are going to grow up in. I need to remember the kind of God that is being infused into their life is going to outweigh that fear and the worry. I mean, turn on the news any night and you can be concerned about the safety of their lives, but go to the Word of God.
This is great. This is actually what we're going to be getting into as raising children as ministers in today's world. And I think that don't be dominated by fear.
Mm.
How do you stop the fear?
How do you stop the fear? I think a constant reminder of what is against that fear, and that is the Lord, and outweighing the stories I know of the goodness of God, and being reminded over and over again that He has us. But also having conversations about fear. I mean, we talk to our girls, they're only young, but we do talk to them a lot about worry not belonging in our body.
Mm.
Jesus does not want that worry in here. And being able to have conversations, not just ignoring the challenges that will not leave them throughout life, but being able to walk through them.
Yeah, I think you know, even what you're referencing before, Pastor Phil, in terms of the days where, and my child was similar, like, you know, you just whatever, you know, walking around. And it seems to be the motive and heart, of course, is to look after and keep kids safe. But I think policy and putting things around people in a practical sense is one part of the picture. But what Tam and I are really focused on, and we're blessed to have some pretty good friends in our world who do a lot of work in this space, is actually empowering your kids.
Good.
Mm. Talking to them about stuff.
Absolutely.
Actually giving them the tools of what to know, what is safe and what is not safe.
What's your biggest worry?
I would say...
with your kids. Well, let me ask this. Is the internet a big worry for you?
Yes, 100%.
So how do you... measures have you taken to create a safe environment?
Mm. Well, we're pretty restrictive in terms of, so there's like the what you can put in the process in terms of what they can access on any space and digital space they have. We've been, and this is just no judgment on anyone else, but our personal view is that we're pretty slow to allow them to have certain accounts and get on certain.
So they've all got a phone.
No, not at all.
Right.
So we'll be very slow in that space.
It's a regular conversation. I'll be honest. Our eldest is
constant.
What, 11? And it's like most of her friends would be in the phone zone.
They've got a phone, yeah.
And so we've chosen not to. We've decided that's – I actually think, we've got a – the whole space of phones and iPads and everything is just being brought into our society so quickly – I don't think we've had enough to actually see what this is doing to our brains. And the research that is coming out tends to say it's not good.
It's not good. So, there's so many Silicon Valley leaders are actually not even allowing their children to have an iPad or an iPhone.
So this is the irony of it. And I think that's why we set the culture in our home by setting the boundaries in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've decided that we're going to limit screen time. We're going to talk these things through and also limit the access they have on screens because the internet is a weird and wonderful place if you don't have boundaries in there.
I think it's got more weird and bad and negative things than it has the positive, which is unfortunate because it's such a powerful and a great tool for us to use,
and
like we are right now.
And look, the dark spaces of the internet are very clever and they are targeting certain age groups because they know how brains work and function.
And so we've talked to the girls about that.
We have age-appropriate conversations. So we've also then looked at really good, godly advice, books to read, things that we talk with our girls that are age appropriate in terms of knowing how to navigate things when things happen. Because
they are going to stumble across it.
What we can't change is at school or somewhere, or, you know, suddenly someone decides to show them something. We can't stop that all the time. We can do what
we can. So you've talked to them about those moments.
Yeah.
We preempt it in terms of what are they going to do
it's
in that moment.
It's only a matter of time.
What choices are they going to make in terms of what they'll allow themselves to see, what they'll allow themselves to say, sorry, that's not for me, and just making good choices. And I think just empowering your kids to be able to make decisions in those moments and also to understand what's safe and unsafe. So the other big fear, of course, is, you know, people interfering with our kids. That's a big thing for me and personally. And I think we have to have good, strong conversations.
It's crazy, isn't it, that we're living in a world that is relaxing laws in those zones and yet, on the other hand, trying to punish the people who perpetrate these kind of crimes at a greater level. It's a confusion, I think, of values that we're seeing, and I think
people are at the end of that confusion feeling very unsafe. And I think we've got to have many basic guidelines in the home, like you guys have had. But I also think belonging to a church helps so much because
massive
what you guys were doing for the children's ministry now has passed on to Sasha Cameron and her team, which
have
learned obviously from your handling of that department and are doing such a brilliant job at providing an environment now. And like you were saying before, safety shouldn't be the big thing because it involves too many negative connotations, but it's got to be there in the background as a solid foundation that all the good stuff we can talk about can actually be engaged in.
Totally.
So in terms of, you know, alerting your kids to the dangers and what to do in those situations, on the other side of that coin, like I'm fully aware of your Instagram posts,
right? Yes, Tam,
which are pretty much only your children.
They are. Oh no, come on, there's
and you must be so proud. You obviously besotted with your own kids,
look,
which
is it obvious?
It's fantastic.
I'll try and level out of
no, them. Don't. It is a wonderful thing to see you celebrating your three girls. And they all look so loved whenever I see them.
Good.
They've just got that peaceful, rested. And I think that is deeply important in a world where we've got kids self-harming and even worse. And I think if people know they're loved.
Yes.
I think that is like a huge. How do you bring that love in your world into your kids' lives?
I think we bring it quite differently. And not to say that a family has to be whole to be able to bring God's goodness. I've certainly experienced a broken family that has brought the love of God. But we certainly bring love to our kids very uniquely, very differently. Sometimes I'm like, I'm out, I've got nothing left, and Jimmy steps in or vice versa. But I think the affirmation is important. I think the affection, the attention. But I also, a big part from my perspective would really be the ability to repent and say, I was wrong, even as a mom, as a parent, and to acknowledge that we are all broken, but in that we can come to God, have a fresh start. Mm-hmm. And even as a parent, mummy, daddy, we'll sometimes get it wrong, but we have the Lord. So let's come back. Fresh start.
I mean, I've known you for a long time, Tammy. I can't imagine you getting anything wrong.
Look, it's only been this one occasion I can remember. No, not true.
Right.
I mean, the everyday life is hard in a family. There's big pressures.
There's pressure.
Had big change in my own personal world. My mum's just started to live with us.
Mm.
Big change. Pressure comes from any which way. It comes from regular life, but it comes from the enemy. And so it's a lie to think that we will not fail. We will.
Yeah, it's part of the human condition,
exactly,
isn't it? And to know how to get out of that hole is something that Jesus teaches us, which I love the fact that we're in a church that, you know, does actually provide us with pathways through the golf course, you know, down the fairway, out of the bunker, on the green.
Now he's speaking his language.
But to keep getting out, keep kind of moving forward. And I think that's something we've really learned through our own journey with Christ, being part of our church. I think it's a huge thing. I came in as an 18-year-old hearing about a message of grace and kindness.
Mm.
And I think sometimes our congregations or people in our community can look to leaders and think they must have it all together.
Yeah.
And therefore I've got to try and we're all the same.
Mm.
Right.
And I think the ability to move on within those, when we have those areas of falling in family life, when we muck up with our kids, when we say the wrong thing, when we get angry in a way that's, and there's, you know, we're all going to get angry. There's nothing wrong with anger, but when we say something out of anger, we do something. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that, done that. I think the ability, as Tam's saying, to not only seek and grant forgiveness with one another, but to in yourself to actually go, you know what, I'm good. We're going to move forward.
To not stay down.
To keep, because I think that's where it becomes a cycle, is if you say so.
Yeah, so the thing we were talking about is being pastors of a pretty big congregation, one of our eight locations here in C3SYD, right here at Oxford Falls. And I couldn't be happier, you know, because I was, obviously, we founded this and birthed it. And to see you guys leading it gives my heart no end of satisfaction and pleasure, because you do a brilliant job. And you're both great preachers and able to bring people to Christ as good as anybody I know, and to but also to be deeply invested in the journey of discipleship.
Right. Yes.
That and so to have all of that is I got to tell you, my journey has not been easy in the area of focus.
Right.
Because we've ended up with a school, a Bible college, right. a church, a movement, a television. Then I have these other things that I do around the church, around the world. And then, oh, that's right, you got a family.
Right, right.
And, right. And then it's so easy to listen to messages that are going to give you the guilt. You know, yes, like,
right.
If you don't. Sure. And, yep. And I think that so rather than me talk about how I've tried to balance that or achieve some kind of how are you doing that in your world?
Sure. We I think there has been a shift in society where so to go back to what you were saying in terms of how you have tried to do it in your own world and then felt, oh, maybe we could have done this better or this better, yes. you know, hearing messages. I actually just think there has been a shift in society generationally in terms of family focus. I think that's not just in a church world. I think across business landscapes, there is a return to...
So you think there's an increase in family focus?
100%. I think
well-being,
I think
balance,
I mean, for Tam's organization, it's within all their culture. I know for our church, the freedom you have allowed us to do family life, mm-hmm. to actually focus in on that. And, mm-hmm. and that's been quite deliberate. I mean, Bernie and Mark Kelsey constantly yes. talk to us about our family. And so yes. I do think there's been a shift back to that. And I think for us, we put our family beyond everything else.
That's good.
And I think to me, that's a good, healthy and whole thing. But it takes a lot of work. Because I get really distracted also, and I can also, it takes me a while when I get home for my brain to catch up to the next place
sure.
I'm in.
Sure.
The loud place.
Yeah. And so the importance of, though, being present.
Yeah.
And actually deciding where I am is where I'm going to be.
Yes.
And so for me, you know, coming home, well, not so much now with COVID, but prior yes. to COVID, you know, coming home to, from work to home, that journey to prepare myself to be present with yes. my family is really important.
It is.
Because what I don't want to do is get to the end of my life and say, I did all these things, but I didn't focus in on my family.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's our heart. That's been our mm-hmm. core decision. It was a decision we made when we got married and started doing ministry or work or whatever your focus or career is. We just decided yeah. we want to make this key, and therefore you have to put practical things in place to make that happen.
Yeah, and I think any reasonable employer should respect that, because if the family starts to break down, that person's engagement in the workforce is going to be deeply affected. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's just for that end. I think it's a respect for a God-given value.
It is.
That the family should hold priority.
100%. Like, you know, Paul's teaching is, you know, if you can stay single, great, because you get to do all these things with Jesus. But once you're married, that's now your first priority. And yeah. And kids, and I think that's gospel. I think that's the kingdom.
Yeah.
I think that's loving the people that totally. Are the most. And we don't want our kids to be put on the altar of ministry. We want to say, Lord, we're here to serve this family unit yeah. And to bless as many people we can along the journey.
That's a wonderful thing. And I do think that there's been a generational change, because
absolutely.
The books I read when right. I was a young Christian, it was almost like a glorious thing to do, to wow. leave sure. your wife for wow. 3 years
wow.
and go on a missions trip to China.
Yeah. Wow.
And I read several stories of people like that, because they just loved that message. Like, he blessed is the man who, for the gospel's sake, has left families and left
right.
homes. And, and dear old John Wesley had all sorts of troubles like with his, but it wasn't considered a problem
no.
for the ministry, because that's the glory of God, that you've actually sacrificed all of
right.
that marriage and family life. And I think he didn't hear about his wife's death until 2 weeks after wow. she had passed. You know, it wasn't really that functional. And so we thought we were doing pretty well.
Right.
James Dobson and Focus on the Family.
I mean, Christ, I mean, he had 12. He put his life into the 12. He put his whole ministry into the 12. I mean, if three of those 12 are my kids,
yes,
I'll be happy.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I think that just understanding that there is pressure in family life, and that as a leader of pastors in our staff who have families, to lay on them any manipulative guilt thing, saying, oh, you know, the will of God, and what, you're taking a holiday, for goodness sake, you know, where's your commitment? I think all of that it's not just old. I think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very bad way to try and extract more effort and action out of people who are doing a beautiful job. And it's not what we preach, it's who we are that is going to. And if you guys are a beautiful family, then that message will be louder than anything we say.
And the family in any society and culture, the health of family is key.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that totally breaks down
like
society.
You know, it's that culture of not just family but relationships, of the way we treat one another, looking after, that's so key. So we model that first from our homes.
Right. Okay, last question, and then we gotta close up. You two together, like in terms of we've talked about family. Now, just a little word about marriage in ministry after like these 15 years. How's it going?
Good.
Look, I'm glad you asked. I've got some things I want to say.
I think it's good, but I'm always a little naive.
We've been married for 20 years.
20.
I think what keeps us sweet is our ability to be very gracious to one another.
Or you gracious to
me. And to have fun.
Right.
We laugh a lot, but we also prioritize time together. It's not a lot, but it's enough. And but we have very open, honest conversations with one another that are filled with mercy, grace, and laughter. And I think that is – and good friends around us, right?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Friendship's important. I think, like Tam said, we're very kind to one another, and I think that's important. We keep kindness in our relationship. We do talk a lot. I think conflict is a wonderful thing if it's managed well, and it is actually needed to surface things and keep moving forward. And we've just kept centered, but we're blessed, and I'm blessed, Pastor Phil. I mean, my wife's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well said. Mm. I think you know, like the Hollywood version is, oh, I'm so in love, and we've got to get married, and then we've fallen out of love.
Right.
We've grown apart. You know, it's like so that concept of falling in love, out of love. You haven't even mentioned that in this conversation, which to me is kind of heartening.
Right.
I mean. Not that I'm against the romantic version of love, but you're just saying we're kind to each other, we're merciful, and we talk a lot. And I think those things are super important.
Absolutely.
The basis, I remember reading, this is a terrible job, but it was somewhere and I cannot remember, but, you know, the key to healthy relationships was ultimately communication and kindness.
There you go.
And this is a guy that did research across all sorts of different relationships.
I think if you're relying just on love, it ain't going to work.
Mm. Right. Well, love, I mean, again, particularly if it's the feeling of love.
Mm.
I think the choice of love
to
be committed
to
another.
There you go. Now you're preaching.
That's the love of God. He's kind to us because he's made a commitment and a covenant.
That's awesome.
And I think that's the marriage covenant.
What'd you say again? Say it again. It's not just the feeling of love.
No, it's the choice of love.
It's
the commitment of love,
That's quotable.
Oh, there you go.
That's what keeps a marriage together, not the feeling of love, but the choice of love.
Choose love.
And then, you know, often the feelings will follow up.
They do.
Hey, well, thanks for being with us today, guys. It's been such a delight being with you, and I hope it hasn't been too uncomfortable in those few of those moments. But don't forget, everybody, to jump on board and hit that subscribe button, rate us and review us. Let us know how we're doing. We'd always like to do better. And tell us if you think the podcasts are too long or too short, or send us some ideas of podcasts you'd like us to talk about with whoever. And most of the time, I'm talking with our team here in C3SYD and in C3 Church Global. And so if you want to know more about anything that we're doing, please go to the website C3 Church Global, and we'll be able to communicate and respond in any way to questions you've got. Also, check out C3 Online Bible College. Many churches around the world are using that as their Bible college in these COVID shutdown days, which may be easing in some countries, but not in all. It is a fantastic way for people to actually be trained in ministry and receive theological training and do basic Bible studies to help them develop their Christian faith and become effective for God. So we look forward to talking again with you next week. Thanks again. God bless you.